Welcome to the Oxley Bond MotoGP podcast.
Everyone, this is the Oxley Bom MotoGP podcast. My name is Peter Bom, and in this podcast, I'm going to tell you everything you need to know when watching the MotoGP this weekend in America, because it's about the racetrack that we're on. We are in Austin, Texas, on the racetrack called COTA, and the thing I want to tell you about the racetrack, some general things first, it's 5.5 kilometers long, it's 50 meters wide, so plenty of tarmac, 20 of corners, that's lots, and a lot of bumps too. That's the downside. Later, more about the bumps. What is a bit special about it is it has 40 meters of height differences, and most of that is covered while braking into turn one, and that creates quite a specific situation. Later about that more. Lap times here will be over 2 minutes, which means the whole race will be done in just under, exactly 20 laps actually. Now, I know it's about the same riding time, but for sure it feels for the rider shorter than the, for example, 30 laps we need to do on the Sachsenring. And oh yeah, it's one of the few tracks that runs counterclockwise. One of the reasons Marquez used to sort of always win here. And he definitely has a good chance again this year to do the first win on the Ducati, because this track and Mark, yep, was a good combination. Unlike Rins, who was sort of picking up the trophies here when Mark could not do it, but now he's on a Yamaha, and that Yamaha is simply too far at the back foot right now, I would love to be very wrong. COTA is a bit of a weird track. It's one that rewards riders that deeply, naturally understands the type of flow that it has. Because let's face it, if Alex Rins can win here with a Honda like he did last year, then there is something with the place. I know he won after Bagnaia crashed out of the lead, but believe me, Pecco's crash was a lot down to him, feeling the pressure from Rins, keeping hearing that Honda engine every corner, every lap again and again, made him in the end made this costly mistake. So yes, it's safe. Alex understands his track. His win last year was actually not even his first. He already won one time at Suzuki too. Can you believe that? Have you seen how long the straight was on a Suzuki? Fast rider. Now, let's get to know this track a little bit better by doing sort of a lap together. Let me talk us through a hot lap around COTA by imagining we're doing the laps ourselves. And let's start by going over the start-finish straight, 6th gear, and we start our lap. And the first thing we do when we look to turn one is seeing asphalt, lots of asphalt. It's like a mountain of asphalt, because turn one is actually 30 meters higher than the start-finish straight. So yeah, you're looking onto a mountain of asphalt. And that's weird. That does something with your head as a rider. Because you arrive there with whatever 300 km per hour. So you see where is the corner. You think, okay, now I need to brake. And while braking, you're going suddenly uphill. It takes out automatically a lot of the speed because it goes up. But more importantly, it prevents the rear of the bike from coming up. So effectively, you're braking super, super effective. In the end, you find yourself all the time braking too early for turn one. All the time. So that's a thing you have to get your head around, braking really, really late for turn one, already going uphill, then starting to brake, because you take out, like I said, the speed very, very quickly. But in the end, once you arrive in turn one, like on the bottom of the mountain, it's flat again, so it sort of stops going uphill, means when you arrive and you still have a little bit too much speed, you will have to go really, really wide, which you will see people do all the time. And actually, in turn one, you can go wide and still make a good lap time. It's one of these corners where if you make a lot of lap time by braking super late, you give some of it away by having the wrong line, but not just automatically everything. So turn one, you can play a little bit, and people play a little bit with turn one. That's why it's the number one crash corner, I think, from this track, because you also can easily overdo it. Turn one is a super overtight left-hander, and after turn one, it goes down into turn two. And this means two things. First, don't touch the rear right eye device, because when we actually activate the rear right eye device, yes, we have a better acceleration down to turn two. But because we don't brake hard enough for turn two, we will not lift the rear, which will not put the bike back into its normal position in the rear. And we can't do all the corners from turn two till 10, which all leads into each other with the shopper. That will basically ruin your race. So nope, no rear right device. All we do is from first gear, bringing the bike from the left to the right and short shifting it. So it's 1, 2, 3, and then closing the throttle for turn two, which is a corner where it's easy to lose the front. That's actually where Pecco Bagnaia lost the front while leading the race last year. And it's understandable why you lose it there, although you should know. The thing is, you don't brake for that corner. You don't go in it with the brakes on, so you don't put enough load on your front tire. It means, yes, you need to do the lean angle, so there is a lot of banking done there, but not with the front fork deep. So not with a lot of load on the front tire. Turn two, you just close the throttle, put it on its banking, and pray that that you didn't overdo it. And if you overdo it, it's actually, the gravel trap is big, but where Pecco ends up was already in the tire wall. So yeah, it's a fast corner. Now, turn two leads to 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And I'm not going to do this part by part because it's like a super crane of curves in Donington Park. It's like four S tire, S combinations in a row. They all lead into each other. And this whole sequence, turn two up until the exit of turn nine, is super important and super difficult. Let me explain you why. Ah, it's important because it's really a big part. I think it's almost 30% of the racetrack. So obviously you need to be fast there. Why it's difficult? It's difficult because all the corners lead immediately into the next one. There is never an acceleration and a breaking point. Turn three leads into four, into five, into six. So what you need to do is be able to muscle the bike and bring it immediately in a short time where it needs to be exactly, and do it very, very fast, but also very smooth. If you're aggressive with the bike here, if you try to force the bike to do things that doesn't automatically, naturally wants to do, you will run up wide and slow and wide and slow and probably even crash. So the target in this fast sequence of corners that all leads into another is to have your timing accurately right. Obviously, your bike has to be set up well. It has to have the right springs and the right amount of preload. So when you bring it from the left to the right, for example, it has to be actively sort of helping you change direction. Bikes that have soft springs or have no preload are like dead in the water. They just don't move. They don't interact with you. You need the good springs and a good amount of preload on it. So if you quickly bring it from left to right by muscling with the handlebars and the footbacks, you can even see the front tire coming up shortly in between left and right, for example. That's when you know the bike is active and willing to help you. But you need to be very, very precise. And like I said, all the corners lead into another. So the first one, if you go from turn to three and you're a little bit hot into three, you will end up a little bit on the wrong apex in turn four, meaning all the way till the exit of turn nine, you will be slow and all the time losing time. You can't say, okay, fuck, I paid a penalty in turn four, but then turn five, no. If turn four is wrong, everything is wrong. So it's super important for the lap time. And what you need to do is be super fast and super precise in where you put the bike at what moment. Obviously, bike has to help you, but it's a lot coming down to the riders. Your accuracy of riding actually has to be very, very high. So yeah, I don't do them corner by corner, but I tell you what it comes down to. Now exiting turn nine, we finally have these four S corners behind us. Still, there is another little problem, which is a huge bump. This track has a couple of bumps, and exiting turn nine is one of the worst ones. And what it does you, it messes with your head because it's big enough to really put two wheels in the air and makes you going completely wide and not even making in time turn 10. Usually this is a major problem when you hear the riders on Friday, but on Sunday nobody speaks about it. And this is down to them getting used to it. They don't get used to nearly dying every lap there. You don't get used to dying or nearly dying. But what it does is they finally get the timing correct on when to brace themselves and when to let the bike shortly loose. As long as you know, if you don't expect a bump, it will upset you and the bike. If you expect it but not exactly know when it's going to happen, you're just too tight all the way into the bump, and then things will get out of shape as well. Once you exactly know when it's going to happen and how long it's going to take, it sort of still looks shit on the camera, but you know it's going to happen. You know what's going to do. You know the result, and you just continue after the 2 turn 10. And that's what's going to happen. Friday, believe me, everybody will cry again about the bumps. Now, turn 10 is just a fast left-hander. It's more a kink than a real corner. Then it's a short sprint, and we're going to turn 11, which is really, really wide and really, really important because it leads to the back straight, which is 1,200 meters long. So that's like a drag strip. And all you need to think about when you see turn 11 is not how to make 200ths of a second under the braking by being a little bit more smart. No. You need to concentrate all on how the fuck do I get out of it quickly, the most effectively, because your lap time and your speed over the back straight is the result from having the drive out of 11. The drive out of 11 is one of the key points to make the lap time on the track here in Austin. So all you need to concentrate on when arriving there is put the bike on the correct moment, on the correct banking angle, use the right height device in combination with the throttle at exactly right moment to have the perfect drive over 1200 meters long straight. Now, 1200 meters usually should bring us a little bit more than just 340 kilometers, but it does not, because you start from a really low speed and you have to brake for another really low speed. So yeah, if the race is 20 laps and 20 of the times you have to do the drag race in between, which is just you and the drag race, which comes down to starting on the right moment, having your timing on the acceleration exactly right. Well, because once you're halfway fourth gear, it's just down to the engine. I mean, what engine guys have give you that day, that's the speed you will end up with. But the first part of it is down to you, how you manage to get out of that corner. The whole combination of where you put your weight, how much pressure you put over the packs, at what time, your timing of throttle and so on. It's really, really important there. And then we have this back straight, like I call it, but it's not even a real straight. It's all the time, it goes a little bit, a couple of degrees to the right, and it has a couple of bumps in it, and it has Armco. On the left of it, there's a lot of Armco, way too close for a professional racetrack, in my opinion. As long as people don't crash on the straight line, and usually when you crash with bikes, you don't suddenly turn left or right like cars can do. So it's sort of okay, but it's weird when you walk the track to see Armco that close to a track, honestly. Being accelerating over the back straight is also a good moment to check out our dashboard, because on the dashboards we can see if we are doing actually a really good lap time or not. So between turn and 10 and 11 was the first time of the lap, you can shortly have a glance on your lap timer. And on the back straight, again, you will have a short moment to look at it. And what you want to see there is sort of the lap time prediction, they call it. It's like a gap function, and it shows you how much seconds, tens of seconds, milliseconds, you're under or above your best lap so far. So riders always know exactly what they have underneath them, what is the package they are doing. And when you have, for example, a new tire, and you know, okay, with this new tire and this fuel load, I'm expected to go half a second faster. If you expect that and you brake for turn 11 and you see already minus 0.7, you know you're on a really good lap. Then on the back straight, after turn 12, you look again, and if you see minus 0.7 is now minus 0.9, then you know you're still on it. You know, you did everything correct. Keep pushing, boy, because we're nearly there. And yeah, 340 km per hour is more or less the top speed we see here. Now, the braking for turn 12, which is a really slow, it's a second gear corner. It's actually, when you look on the map, it you say, this must be first gear, but it's so wide that you can get away by using second gear. There is actually something unnatural with it. While in the braking area, there is a bump, or a couple of bumps, but one is bigger. And that can upset your braking. So don't be surprised to see riders braking far away from where you expect them to be. I mean, you want to be on the right side of the track if you brake for a left-hand corner. But don't be surprised to see riders not completely on the right, because they just want to avoid the bumps that are there. And it's one of these places where you can win a lot during the braking. If you overdo it into turn 12, with the braking, there is plenty of meters to go wide, but be careful, because the wide part of the track usually is less used, can be a little bit dirty, can be green, and you can see people crash there, but usually not because they are already too fast on the right moment, but more because they get wide and don't give up enough speed and then crash on the wide line. So yeah, turn 12, hotspot for overtaking and hotspot for crashing. Now, turn 12, like I said, second gear, it leads to 13, 14, 15, which is all second gear. So you keep the bike in second gear, slow speed, left, right, lots of banking, lots of change of direction, but no real speed, no possibility to overtake actually. But in total, because it's so slow and it's four corners, it's still a lot of time. So if you have a bike that has, for example, a little bit of difficult throttle pickup, you will pay the price in 12, 13, 14, because it's all very delicate. It's a lot of banking, a lot of closed throttle, a little bit opening, closing it again, a little bit opening again. So it needs to be very, very smooth, and you need to feel the traction part of your tire very, very well there. Once we are in 15 and exiting, going to 16, 17, 18, again, it's a situation like in turn 1, looks like right height device, but don't touch it. Don't even think about it, because for turn 16, you don't brake. You just close the throttle, or brake maybe a little bit, but definitely not enough to put the bike back in position. So no, 15 is just a normal acceleration to 16. 16, 16, 17, and 18 is three right-handers in a row that you can take in various angles depending on the quality of your tires and what situation are you in. Is it the end of the race? Your tires are already done. Not many people really close behind you, so you just want to keep doing reasonable lap times. Then you just go in pretty fast in 16, let it go really wide to 17, close the throttle, make the bike pitch, bring it a little bit back into it, and then make a wide turn out of 18, not being on the side of the tire too much. But on the other end, when it's qualifying time, you got two fresh tires on it, super soft in the rear and a hot, hard tire in the front. You will sort of make the shortest amount of meters by keeping the inside 16, not too wide in 17, 18 again, having a close apex quite early, because you do a lot less meters if you have the good rubber here. But like I said, you need to have the good rubber to do that. Now, 18 to 19, short sprint. 19 is an overtaking possibility, and lots of the overtaking that you can see in 19 are the result of having the corner speed in 16, 17, 18. If you want to overtake somebody and you see that the guy in front of you has, I just mentioned something, a Ducati, and so he has the top speed, you can't do him on the brakes for the normal corners. You sort of position yourself behind him. You start the whole sequence of 16, 17, 18, like 10, 15 meters behind him. Coming out of 18, you're nearly in the back of him. But just because he goes back to the right side of the track, you sort of pass him on the outside, but only because you have a better exit speed out of 18. That will put you already on the left side of 19, which is where you want to be. So lots of outbreak action in 19 are actually coming as a result from better corner speed of 17 and 18. From 19, it's going down to 20. Still no time to look on the desk. So we're curious what the lap time is going to be, but we just don't have the time here. Because 19 to 20, a lot on the curbs, very violent short action, again, hard braking. And all you need to think about is how to get out of it. This is, again, leading to the start-finish straight, pretty long as well. So you need to have the perfect drive, need to use just enough curbs to make your track wide enough, but not so much that it upsets the bike, the right moment of putting the rear ride height down, and so on and so on. And then it's again accelerating through the whole box. And once we are over start finish, we're checking again the dashboard. And yeah, let's hope it says something like, whatever, minus 0.8, minus 0.9, and then we know we're on a good lap and we can continue the weekend like that. I hope this was informative for you, that I give you some information that will help you understand the racing, understand the qualifying laps, understand probably the commands of the riders as well, because it's a bit of a different track. I love it. I like it because it rewards a rider that has a specific feel for the flow that it has. And it's not so much, okay, it's got too long straight. But still, if you win here, it's definitely not because you had the fastest engine. It's also because you understood the track very well and obviously, that's what I like. So thanks everyone for listening. Thanks everyone for supporting us. If you're not supporting us yet, please consider supporting us yet, so it makes sense for us to keep making this beautiful content. Enjoy the weekend. Bye.